Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Micah chapter 7. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? For the remnant of his inheritance, he does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Micah, who is like Yahweh? What his name meant. And he tells us what Yahweh is like in his wonderful book. He was a contemporary of Isaiah in the 8th century BC, and he saw the Assyrians destroy the northern kingdom in 722. What horrible tragedy, what utter paganism had forced itself in and been welcomed into Israel, and the Lord brought it all to an end. The people, the priests, the rulers, but for a small remnant, they had utterly rejected God. It's in Micah that the Lord levels his own impropria, they're so called, upon his own people. We often hear them prayed in Good Friday. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, O my people. And he had his message, faith without works is dead. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. But he tells us no one is found faithful. Paul picked up that language. It's totally applicable to our times. The godly have perished from the earth. There is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil to do well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, of your punishment has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against the mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to Yahweh. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And Micah uses a lot of language for justification in his book. He says, the Lord will vindicate me. That's how it's translated. The word is tzedekah. The Lord will justify me in the face of my enemies. That is, the one who is faithful. And he's included himself in the sinners already. No one's righteous. No, not one. Not even Micah. Where is the Lord your God? He is found in his blessed word. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming is from old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock. They shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Isaiah had said it at the same time, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Oswald Beyer wrote a wonderful book, and he says, far from being an obscure message or teaching or doctrine, the doctrine of justification is the most contemporary and vital thing in all of human life. Those who justify themselves are under compulsion to do so. There's no escape. We cannot reject the question that others put to us. Why have you done this? What were you thinking about? Couldn't you have done it some other way? In the other's view of us, and also in our own view, we always find ourselves to be the ones who are already being questioned, and we have to answer. Give account for yourself. Justify your actions. Complaints are made against us. We're forced to justify ourselves. And as we do so, we usually want to be right. That's a good description of my activity in my marriage. I don't know about yours. Yes, I do know about yours, I think. What's the answer? Our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith. When they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake by his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. Romans 3 and 4, Augsburg Confession, Article 4. Forgiveness is secured on the cross and delivered by a word. Christ is the high priest. He sacrificed himself once for the sins of the world. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself, Hebrews 7. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That means you paying for your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sins, and not only your sins, but the sin of the whole world. Nobody is going to go to hell because their sins have not been paid for. It is our glorious privilege and your glorious privilege as a spiritual priest to speak forgiveness in your family. The Lord's own justifying word. I tell you, you're forgiven by Jesus, and I forgive you. Those are the two most powerful things you could possibly say for balm and healing in a family, which is always a family of pure, poor sinners. Always. It's the best thing you could possibly say to a friend who is suffering pain and disillusionment, disappointment, the burdens of a bad act or being acted upon badly, sins. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven, even as I speak it. Believe it. It's all yours. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption, Hebrews 9. And the texts in the scriptures go on and on and on. And so does Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Pardoning. Pardon, as though it never happened. Never to accuse you again. Ever. I tell you, instead, by the command of Christ, you are pardoned. Eternally pardoned. That's justification. And passing over transgression. Sin deserved God's active punishment and death. Yet he passes over transgression. It's like you're in court and all of a sudden the accusing side rests. The plaintiff rests before even presenting his case. The devil is the accuser. When your conscience is accused, it is the devil's work. Tell him, yes, devil, I'm a sinner. No one is righteous, no, not one. But I know one who became a bigger sinner. He took all the sins of the world upon himself. He is Christ the Lord. And therefore, your accusations mean nothing. He does not retain his anger forever. God is not angry with you, and he's not angry with the world. His anger was poured out on the cross on Jesus. He delights in steadfast love, chesed, Hebrew word for mercy, grace, free forgiveness. The Lord delights in that. He loves to have mercy on sinners, so you'd always better be one. He loves sinners. He invites them to his table and he eats with them. He will again have compassion on us. Mercy. The Lord Christ himself is so compassionate in the New Testament. Body and soul, he loves people. He sees them. He goes out of his way to take care of them. He heals them before he even sees them or touches them. He pleads for them before the Father's throne, as he does for you. And he grants mercy and forgiveness to all who come to him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's the way you get the grace. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. The record of your sins is tread under the Lord's foot. It is nothing. It is not recoverable. It's destroyed. It shall never be brought up against you, not even the last day. You shall plead Jesus. The Lord himself has a very big foot to tread your sins under his foot. They're gone. The record is gone. You will cast off our sins. They are cast off. Gone. As far as the east is from the west. And if the Lord has cast them off, why do you hang on to them? If the Lord casts off the sins of your beloved son or daughter or spouse or mother, even though they drive you crazy, how come you hang on to those? They're cast off. Into the depths of the sea, you will show faithfulness, Yahweh, grace alone, to Jacob, that's the church, and steadfast love to Abraham, the bosom of the church, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. The Lord makes the promise. Luther, when he comments on Genesis, long commentary he wrote for the last 15 years of his life, he doesn't use the terms law and gospel. He uses the terms law and promise. This is all the Lord's own wonderful promise. And what the Lord promises, he holds good. I tell you, Micah, who is a God like you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.